At the top of our program today, people who build schools and other public infrastructure projects in Michigan might see a lighter paycheck soon. Yesterday, the Michigan Senate voted to repeal the state's prevailing wage law. That provision mandates that wages paid in state government construction contracts are based on collective bargaining agreements. Senate Republicans say eliminating the prevailing wage will boost competition, make bidding easier, and save taxpayer dollars. But opponents argue the cut seriously diminishes a worker's quality of life. Many call it an act of war on unions and working people. The prevailing wage repeal now moves to the Michigan House, where it faces an uncertain path. Governor Rick Snyder has said he opposes the measure. Joining me by phone to talk about the Senate action is Republican Mike Shirkey of Clark Lake. He's the chair of the Senate Michigan Competitiveness Committee, which passed the prevailing wage repeal package onto the full Senate. Senator Shirkey, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Glad to be with you.
Also with us today in the studio, Mike Stoback, vice president of Barton Mallow Construction. Mike's overseen the construction of dozens of schools here in the state of Michigan in the last few decades. His company opposes the repeal of the prevailing wage law. Mike Stoback, welcome.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me.
This package of bills was the first ones introduced in the Senate this session back earlier in the year. Senator Mike Shirkey, they passed out of your committee on Wednesday. Why is repealing the prevailing wage law important?
Hey, Mike, before we get to that, when's the last time you had two guests on with the same first name as yours, since you had Mike talking to Mike talking to Mike?
Well, my name would be Mark.
Just for the record.
That's okay.
Right, yeah. Well, forgive me. And by the way, Mike was kind enough to give testimony in our committee, and he did a fine job. And so I'm glad to be on the air with him. Why it's important for Michigan is that this is another, I think, law that has outstated its due and is outdated a bit. It's something that's not found in very many other states, and it's more a restriction and a government imposition on how contractors do their work. I understand those who think that it protects workers, and quite frankly, I view it, and my colleagues view it just exactly the opposite of that. And we are strong believers that competition is good for everybody, and it's very important to point out that Michigan's prevailing wage laws, as they exist today, only apply to taxpayer-funded projects. And so if you have a school building next door to a library building that is privately funded, or next door to a dentist office, and from afar the buildings look similar, may in fact be the same, one will probably cost more than the other under prevailing wage laws. And it's always been a head-scratcher for me as to why taxpayers should be really forced to pay more per square foot on a project because of laws.
Mike Stoback, why don't you respond to that generally? Why do you oppose the repeal of prevailing wage?
Thank you, Mark. I come from this at a little different angle. I look at it, having worked in the public sector for over 27 years now, we look at having it's really not a non-union or union issue. In my perspective, or our perspective, it's a purely productivity, quality, and safety issue. Right now in Michigan, it's stated, and when the senator, I was in front of the senator yesterday, you know, I heard a lot of testimony that this law will not impact productivity, safety, or quality, and it truly will. Having lived through the repeal of that of the prevailing wage law in the 90s, I saw severe impacts on all of those things because our workforce became very transient and really jumped around because their wages were cut. And just like anyone else, if you receive what studies show to be a 25% reduction in your pay, you're going to look to enhance that any way you can. So in the middle of projects, we had people leaving jobs for other opportunities, wherever that may be. And it really created some serious interruptions to our projects and had a severe impact on meeting deadlines and retaining a well-trained, consistent workforce throughout the project. So when people say that repealing prevailing wage will have no impact on quality, safety, or productivity, it's really a fallacy, and it comes from a very naive point of view.
Let's break this down into some of the separate components here that you have both brought up. Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff is a particular supporter of repeal. Back in November on this program, he used a particular example to illustrate why he supports the repeal of prevailing wage. Here he is.
When Allendale went out to build two new schools, I actually asked the business manager the cost effect of prevailing wage on construction of those schools, and he told me it was about 10%. So Allendale borrowed about $60 million to build two schools. So 10% of that cost is about $6 million. And if you were a normal mortgage holder at 30 years, like a school typically is, a bond goes out for that long, and you're paying 4 to 6% interest, that's a lot of extra money that you're paying in, for that expense.
Mike Stoback, I'd like you to respond to that. I can't imagine that you are against necessarily keeping the tax bite on state taxpayers lower as opposed to higher, but where is Senator Meekhoff off in his reasoning in your view?
What they're looking at is what, again, I go back to what we saw in the 90s. We did see a slight dip in cost initially, but as many contractors left the public market because they felt it was no longer a viable market, competition was reduced on public projects. There were less contractors and less people interested in bidding public work because it purely became all about price. And when you lose potential bidders and people participating in the market, you lose competition. And we have an increasing market right now in the public sector. The market's growing at a very steady rate right now. So with the supply of work on the increase and a potential, right now we're facing a shortage of contractors and skilled trades. And if we have additional people leaving the marketplace because it's no longer viable, that's going to reduce competition. And just like in the 90s, we're going to see costs rise pretty much right back to where they were prior to the repeal of prevailing wage.
Senator Shirky, you insist that repealing prevailing wage will accelerate competition. And yet Mike Stoback seems to feel that it does just the opposite. Respond to that for us, please.
Sure. There's an obvious contradiction in those who maintain that there's a growth in the demand for government-funded buildings. At the same time, they say there's going to be a mass exodus of those who are in search of government-mandated wage rates. And so if you apply the principles of supply and demand, first of all, it would do just the opposite, and it would actually drive rates up if you're competing for that labor force. The second point that is, to me, rather interesting is that limiting prevailing wage does not prohibit any contractor, if they really believe that certain types of trained folks with certain kinds of certifications provide better quality, more efficiency, et cetera. There's nothing prohibiting them from using those. And in fact, if they are that much better and are that much more efficient, then on a job-by-job basis, they should be able to be very competitive. And then thirdly, I'd like to point out that if there are some boards, for instance, that focus exclusively on the lowest possible cost, then shame on them, because they should be focusing on the best possible value. And, that could occur even with prevailing wage laws in place. And then the last fourth thing I want to point out is that the encumbrance that's created by imposing government-mandated wages and all the classifications go with them is an enormous amount of work. Now, for Mike and his firm, they're very skilled, they're outstanding, and they have the administrative structure set up to be able to handle that kind of stuff. But for anybody else that's maybe competing in a different state that wants to come to Michigan or maybe starting up in Michigan, that those administrative burdens that are created by government law are unnecessary and, And there's no way you could conclude that anything but the fact that they add cost to a project.
Our guests today are Republican State Senator Mike Shirkey, who chairs the Michigan Competitiveness Committee. Mike Stoback also joins us, Vice President of Barton Mallow Construction. We are Barton Mallow opposes a repeal of Michigan's prevailing wage law. Senator Shirkey supports that. How would you respond to that, Superintendent in Granville? I imagine over the years, Mike, you have had conversations with superintendents and school boards and the like over the costs of these things. It added $6 million to the cost of that project. How do you respond to school boards and superintendents when they do make that well, point?
Mark, that's when you talk about we've had many conversations. I sat on my own school board for almost 7 years and convinced my fellow board members that prevailing wage was the appropriate way to move forward with our projects. So as an elected official, I sat on the other side of this. And, you know, when people say opportunity or contractors are discriminated against in the public market, nothing could be further from the truth. Barton Mallow works in every level of construction with the exception of residential there is. And there is no market that is more inclusive of contractors, both large and small. I work with mom and pop, very small operations of two or three people in the office, up to some of the largest corporations in the state. And they all have equal opportunity to participate in public projects and prosper in the public arena. And many of them have started in the public arena and moved into other areas with our company and with others. So the marketplace is very viable and open to anybody in state, out of state, wherever you may be in the state. Basically, to bid on public work, you have to be able to provide a bond and bid the job. And that's basically the two bottom line qualifications. And as far as school boards saying low bid, again, I sit in front of school boards every day recommending bids, and I sat on a school board. And for a school board to move beyond the low bid, there has to be very substantial rationale as to why a contractor is going to be overlooked and move on to the next contractor, because public work is one of the few areas where if you feel you're wronged, you can go to the courts and appeal that decision. In private work, you can't do that.
Anything else to add to that, Senator Shirkey?
No, I don't think Mike necessarily answered the question about the $6 million difference, but I stand by my claim that the value proposition is what needs to be evaluated by these entities and boards that make those decisions, not the lowest cost value. And if those who are opposed to eliminating prevailing wage think they deliver the highest value, then I don't know why they're concerned about eliminating the law that creates paperwork and administrative burden for them.
We've got some tape here from yesterday's Senate session. During the floor debate, Senator Curtis Hertel Jr., an East Lansing Democrat, remarked that he noticed some construction workers on a scaffold making some fixes to the Capitol Dome. Hertel urged his peers to consult with them first before casting their vote. Here he is.
I would challenge any of you supporting this measure to tell these workers, go outside and talk to the guys in the hard hats that are rebuilding this building for us. Go talk to them and ask them what they think about this bill. Tell them you're taking food off their families' plates.
I think Senator Hertel speaks for quite a bit of the opposition here. Mike Shirkey, what do you make of those comments?
Mark, I mentioned this to my friend Senator Hertel on the floor after he made his speech yesterday, that I don't understand the connection of the dots that says that if we eliminate prevailing wage laws, that automatically results in a reduction in wages for these workers. Again, to me, it's all about the value proposition you deliver. And if you truly believe, and I believe they do believe it, that certain certifications and certain classifications of workers provide higher quality work and better value, then at the end of the day, when the projects are evaluated, they'll be the ones that are selected. But they need to make their case on a case project-by-project basis and not be dictated by or wage mandated by government.
We do have just a limited amount of time left. I want to run one last question past Mike Stoback, and I want to bring into the play here the Associated Contractors of Michigan, which represents non-unionized builders. Chris Fisher also testified before Senator Shirky's committee this week. He told the committee, quote, "Every day throughout the broader construction industry, workers across the state put on hard hats and deliver on-time, quality construction without a prevailing wage mandate. It's time for the government sector to keep pace with modern opportunities that benefit the private sector," unquote. Mike Stoback, do you think union-scale wages, benefits, and the like are essential to the construction of a quality building? Mr. Fisher doesn't seem to think so.
Again, Mark, I approach this not from a union or non-union point of view, but purely a quality view. So I don't really feel it's, you know, it doesn't matter to me, honestly, what people are paid, and it's not part of our business. I'm looking at it purely from a what happened in the 90s, the issues we encountered, the difficulties, and the real problems that were occurring in the market when prevailing wage was appealed back in the 90s. So I don't feel it's, you know, I'm prepared or that's my position to talk about that.
We have more questions than we have time for today, unfortunately, but we want to thank both of our guests. Mike Stoback is vice president of Barton Mallow Construction. He is an opponent of repealing the state's prevailing wage law. Senator Mike Shirky is from Clark Lake, and he chairs the Senate's Competitiveness Committee, and the proposal to repeal prevailing wage passed out of Senator Shirky's committee earlier this week. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.